Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. When you hear that school bell, go get your Bible and turn up your radio and spend the next few minutes with us as we study the Bible. And we're studying beautiful passages of Scripture about Jesus when he walked among men, as though sent as a missionary from heaven to dwell among us, that he might seek and to save that which was lost. And in our last class session, we were talking about his compassion and how he looked over the people and saw that they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. In just a moment, we're going to be reading some verses about Jesus being the chief shepherd and how this he had prepared under shepherds to serve under him and looking after his flock. Before we get into that, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're studying a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday of November the 18th, 1923. And even though the lesson is old and these pages are fragile and brittle, it is my joy to bring E.A. Elam's work back to life by reading from his Sunday school lessons over this radio. And it is always good to read these things about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus showing compassion. I'll read the text to you again. It is Matthew chapter 9, 35 and 36, where Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were distressed and scattered as sheep not having a shepherd. Elam wrote in his Sunday school notes and gave some scripture references here that we'll read, that Jesus is the good shepherd, John 10:11-14, the great shepherd of the sheep, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, then the chief shepherd, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, and he has provided shepherds for his flock, Acts 20:28-31, and 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1-5. Let me read those passages to you. Beginning in John chapter 10:11-14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for his sheep. He that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, beholdeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf snatcheth them, and scattereth them. He fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine own, and my own know me. We read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, 20-21. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep with the blood of an eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus, make ye perfect in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then we read how Jesus provided that men would shepherd his flock after he was gone. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul said, take heed to yourselves, and to over all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops, to feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And from your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Wherefore watch ye, remembering that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to admonish every one, night and day, with tears. We read about how God provided shepherds also for his flock, that is, his church, in 1 Peter 5:1-5, where Peter writes, "The elders therefore among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, who am also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, tend the flock of God which is among you, exercising oversight, not of constraint, but willingly, according to the will of God, nor yet for filthy lucre, but a ready mind, neither is lording it over the charge allotted to you, but making yourselves examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall be manifested, ye shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, be subject unto the elder. Yea, all of you gird yourselves with humility to serve one another. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." And then after talking about the people scattered as a sheep without having shepherd, he said to his disciples to pray that the Lord would send laborers into his harvest. We read this in Matthew 9:37-38. "Then said he to his disciples, The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send laborers into his harvest." Jesus changed the figure from that of a sheep without a shepherd to a ripe and abundant harvest with not enough laborers to gather it, and which will be lost if not gathered in. These two figures represent the same sad condition of the unfortunate people. The laborers were few, because there were not enough ready and willing to do the work for this distressed people. The great need of the world today is self-sacrificing, consecrated, unselfish, untiring laborers in the field. The need was urgent. Jesus besought his disciples to pray the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers into the harvest. Like Jesus, the disciples must accompany their prayers with earnest work and go to the mission upon which Jesus sent them. While the laborers were few, Jesus did not advocate raising the wages in order to secure more, but he said, "Pray the Lord to send them." All preachers who have to be hired to preach can be hired to quit preaching and to do something else. We read about Jesus, when he was that missionary to the earth, that he went about doing good. In Luke 8:1 it says, "And it came to pass soon afterward that he went about through cities and villages, preaching and bringing the good tidings of the kingdom of God, and with him the 12. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary that was called Magdalene, whom the 7 spirits had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusas, Herod's servant, and Susanna, and many others who ministered to them of their substance." Soon afterward, Luke says, that is soon after the events of Luke 7:36-50, of which we have read. It was soon after Jesus made this preaching tour of this verse. It was different tours through Galilee, as we have seen, going from village to village and from city to city. We read in Matthew 4:23, "Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of disease and all manner of people." In Mark 1:14, we read, "Now after that John was delivered up, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God." In verse 15, he says, "And saying, The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." In Mark 4:21, "And they go into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught." In Mark 1:39, And he went into their synagogue throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out demons. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 1, he arose from thence and cometh to the borders of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and multitudes came together unto him again. And he was wont, he taught them again. We read in Luke chapter 4 and verse 15 that he taught them in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And Luke chapter 4 and verse 44 that he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. And Luke chapter 6 and verse 6, it came to pass on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man there whose right hand was withered. And Luke chapter 13 and verse 10, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And then in John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, that was John 6 and verse 59, where it says he did these things in the synagogue and in Capernaum. Beside his preaching, Jesus went about doing good, healing all manner of disease, giving sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, and casting out demons and raising the dead, as stated above. He also sent the 12 and later the 70 to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But in the end, he sent apostles to teach to all nations, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, and to preach the gospel to the whole creation, Mark chapter 16, 15 through 16, and to preach repentance and remission of sins in his name among all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, the church, as the pillar and ground of truth, must teach that truth now, Luke 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And we see how Jesus was supported in this passage. Comment on these verses have been made, but these verses show how Jesus and his disciples were supported in their work of preaching. The women ministered unto them of their substance, that which the New Testament teaches in regard to supporting preachers of the gospel and teachers of the truth is clear, strong, and abundant. But there is not one word in which it advances the idea of a professional ministry for personal gain, that is, professional preachers and professional missionaries and professional singers and professional money raiders, etc. Jesus taught that the laborer was worthy of his hire, but to make the hire the motive of the service is turning godliness into a way of gain and disqualifies one for the service. Making merchandise of the gospel in any way is condemned by our Lord. We read in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that wonderful words, that God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And God sent not his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. This verse declares the great love of God through his Son for the world under a great burden and condemnation of sin. It sets forth, 1, what God has done to save the world, 2, what Christ has done to save the world, and 3, what the world must do to be saved. God so loved the world as to give his only begotten Son, and the Son loved the world so as to come save it. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5 and verse 8. God does not hate the world. He is unwilling that any perish, and he sent Christ to save the world. Sinners do not have to wait until they die and go to judgment to be condemned and lost. They are already condemned and lost. He that believeth not has been judged already, already lost. But Christ brings them salvation. They are lost in sin and plunged into a gulf of dark despair. And the way out is to believe in Christ, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is that active, obedient faith. He that doeth the truth cometh unto the light. And as the last verse of this chapter declares,